It's time for Magnuson Nature News, a monthly program about the amazing nature inside Magnuson Park. Each episode has a different theme, featuring animals or plants that live here in the park. You'll hear fascinating facts and true nature stories, interviews with kids or adults who know a lot about nature, the best places inside Magnuson Park to find animals and plants, and much, much more. Magnuson Nature News is brought to you by Magnuson Children's Garden, a great place for the whole family to visit any month of the year, and where all of our events are free. I'm your host, Emily Bishton, and I'd like to give a special welcome to all kids and adults who know me from my years of teaching at Magnuson Children's Garden, Magnuson Nature Programs, and the Jane Addams Sandpoint and Dunlap School Gardens. Magnuson Children's Garden is delighted to be a part of Space 101.1 FM and hope you enjoy this edition of Magnuson Nature News. On this month's show, I'd like to talk a little bit about bird nesting season. It's already started at Magnuson Park and it'll be going on almost all summer. Nesting is about the most important thing that goes on in the life of birds, so it's a good time to learn about how we humans can help keep them safe. Did you know that nesting birds are protected by a law? That means it's even illegal to disturb the active nest of any native northwest bird. So, what can you do to help? First of all, before you do any pruning of trees and shrubs in your yard at home or cut anything down, take a real good look at every branch in case there's a bird already nesting there. Birds like to hide their nests and camouflage them from predators, so you'll have to look close. Some birds build in tree branches, which are called cup nests. Some birds make holes in the trunk, which are called cavity nests. So make sure you look for both kinds. If you do find a nest, don't do any pruning on that tree or shrub until after all the young have left the nest, so that you don't endanger the life of the adult or the baby birds. Second of all, don't get too close to nesting birds. In fact, it's best to stay away from them as much as you can so you don't disturb them. Some birds, like chickadees and hummingbirds, are more used to being around people, so you might be able to sit and watch them from across your yard, but you'll still have to stay pretty quiet. Other birds are super shy about nesting. In fact, the recommendation for any nesting water birds, like ducks and geese, is to stay 50 yards away. That's 150 feet. Good thing to know while you're at Magnuson Park. If you can see a bird sitting on its nest and it can see you, unless you're using binoculars and looking from a long way away, you might be disturbing that bird. In fact, female birds often can't even lay their eggs if they're disturbed. And if the grown-up birds are in the process of feeding their very young nestlings, they need to be able to access the nest every minute or two to bring food in. So if you accidentally scare them away for very long, their young could die. Adult birds also stay in the nest to protect their nestlings from the cold or the heat. So you don't want to scare them off the nest for even a short time. If you ever find a young baby bird that's fallen out of the nest and is on the ground, you might be able to help it, though. If you can find the nest it came from and safely reach it, pick up the nestling with your hand wearing a glove and put it back in the nest right away. Parent birds will not reject their baby bird if it was handled by a human being for a short time. But when birds are nesting, they also are very protective of their young. If a bird is behaving aggressively towards you, you're probably near its nest. It's also good to stay away from young birds that have taken their first flight, but they can't fly very good yet. Even if you see them sitting alone on a branch, they're probably not orphaned birds. They're just not strong enough to keep flying. So don't try to rescue them. Their parents know where they are, and they'll return to feed them until they're strong enough to fly some more. Another thing you can do to help is to keep your pet cat indoors. Cats have a strong instinct to hunt even when they're not hungry. And did you know that they kill millions of adult and baby birds every year in the Pacific Northwest? I love kitties, and I have two of them. And I know your kitty will stay healthier and live longer if it lives indoors like my cats do. Also, it won't be in danger from raccoons or coyotes either. Last but not least, you can put up a nest box in your yard to attract cavity nesting birds to nest there. The Audubon Store on 35th Avenue Northeast and the Wild Birds Unlimited Store in Lake Forest Park are two really good places to buy a nest box. But you can also make your own with directions from the Washington State Fish and Wildlife website. They have super cool plants there that you can follow and that don't cost very much for the wood or the other supplies. Their website is wdfw.wa.gov. Thanks for helping nesting birds this spring. Now it's time for our special guest. This month we have a guest who first came to the garden 17 years ago when he was a lot younger. He's in his mid-20s now, and he's even out of college, but he knows the garden really well. Please help me welcome Max Pfeiffer.
Welcome to the radio show, Max. It's really great to have you as my special guest this month.
Happy to talk with you, Emily.
Great. So I'd like to go back in time to the beginning of the designing of the children's garden, and I'm wondering, how did you end up becoming involved in that?
Wow. Yeah, I remember being enticed to a design workshop by my mom at what I believe is the brig just next to where the garden is today. And I think that she lured me with the promise of snacks afterwards, but it ended up being a lot of fun. I remember people had dioramas they were making. I think there were kind of arts and crafts involved in the inspiration of the garden layout. And I remember having all kinds of cool ideas, like you know, a mixture of playground equipment and garden stuff and kind of cool areas to explore. It was a fun exercise. And even though, you know, at the time I think I was 6 years old, this must have been 5 or 6 years old, the translation between that exercise and seeing the garden get built, you know, wasn't super clear, but it was still kind of, I think, a fun way to be a part of the process other than just kind of going to the garden.
Mm-hmm. And of the, you know, main features that are in the garden now that were thrown up at that time, do you remember it? Were any of those things your idea?
Oh, like, man, I don't know. It's hard to remember, I think, the specific ideas that I had at the time. I just remember being really excited to make a model of the garden, which is, I think, one of the things that we got to do was building models with various craft supplies. I kind of remember some of the stuff like the whale, but I don't remember whose idea it was. I just remember the process being fun.
Yeah. Well, that's the main thing. It's like the combined energy and ideas of everybody involved just ended up being these wonderful features in the garden that, you know, so many kids have enjoyed all these years. What things do you remember about actually watching the garden get built? And I know your mom spent a lot of time there helping with all of that and brought you with her. Do you have any special memories about watching things get built or participating?
Yeah, I do remember remember a lot of mulch moving. I remember when we first got to the site, it was kind of just a big mound of relatively inhospitable soil, or I don't know if you'd even call it soil. It was really just, I think, the mixture of kind of clay and debris that they had been able to pile up. And so I remember like pulling rocks out and kind of shaping it into the mound with the path that is there today. Doing a lot of planting. I remember when there really weren't a whole lot of plants in certain areas after we'd started mulching it. And just at the work parties, I think they all kind of blend together a bit, but I do remember countless work parties growing up with my mom working on the garden, doing everything from weeding to mulching to, I remember when they did the whale, that big concrete pour. That was a pretty cool event.
Did you lots help of, build that sorry, whale, that little wall along the whale that's made of concrete? Is that what you mean?
Yeah, like I remember when that got poured and all of the mosaic and the broken ceramic got put in to kind of make it the art piece that it is. I don't remember exactly what I did, but I do remember being there for it. I think it was one of the most exciting work parties that we had. Everybody was really, I think, just happy to see it come together. And it's such a cool feature. I mean, being able to sit on the whale tail that comes out of the ground and kind of, I don't know, it's a really cool installation.
Yeah. I have a memory of you in the garden in kind of the early days that I was there, because I wasn't there at the very beginning, but within a year or two after the building of the garden, we had to replace one of the columnar oak trees at the top of the hill because it had blown over in a storm. Mm. And when you were helping to dig the hole for the new tree to go in, and you found three of the biggest earthworms I have ever seen in my life. And I can remember you carrying those earthworms around. That's a really vivid memory for me, because we were all looking at them. They were like a foot long. I don't think I've ever seen worms that big before, and it was super cool.
Yeah, I do remember that now. Actually, I loved to dig as a kid. I think that was one of my favorite projects, because it was, even though it was a lot of work, it was a lot of fun. And getting to sift through the soil and play with all the creatures and rocks and different bits that I was pulling out of the ground was a lot of fun.
Yeah. Do you have any other memories about some of the early special events and things that we started having in the garden when you were a little bit older and the garden was kind of ready for the public to be there?
Yeah, I think more kind of as a bystander, I think, than a participant, but I do remember seeing at least some of the classes of the workshops that you were holding there at the picnic table underneath the tree. And I'm trying to think of the other stuff that I've seen. I remember most of what I remember is the work parties and the volunteering. I don't know how many of the events I actually attended, which I guess is a little bit of a shame, but I think most of how I enjoyed the garden was through volunteering. Yeah,
I mean, that's what built the garden, was, you know, people like you and your mom and you know, families from the neighborhood and community groups. The garden would not be there if it wasn't for that. And then all the community volunteers who've come in all the years since to add to it and maintain it. And it's one of the things I think that makes the garden really cool, is that it, you know, all the people that have really been the builders of it were volunteers and were there because they wanted to be and put their heart and soul into it. So, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. And I do still from time to time go back and walk through it. And I think the lasting impression is really powerful, just seeing how the community has come together to create and maintain it. Just as much as I love remembering the work that we put into it and the enjoyment that I got out of that, it's also really great to see it continue and to see that it's still there and still thriving.
Yeah. And, you know, you as an adult also went back and helped with a really important thing in the garden just like a year or two ago, with the new roof on the shed. That was something that was an amazing gift, really, from you and your dad and mom, but all three of you.
Yeah, I remember that too. That was it was kind of a little bit of a throwback to the old days, and it I don't know, it meant a lot to me, at least, to be able to continue contributing in a way that helped. And even though it wasn't quite as hands-on, you know, in the ground as some of the stuff that I used to do with my mom and with the work parties that we held there, it was still really nice to be in that space. It's a nice mellow vibe, kind of a way to get away from the bustle of the city all around it.
Yeah. And the roof that you and your dad put on there is going to last for probably 100 years. It's a really great metal roof, and it's just a great gift to the garden's sustainability. So, and I guess my last question for you is really, and you've kind of answered it already, but just kind of how it feels knowing that, you know, you were there at the very beginning of this garden, and then, you know, for the past, you know, 18 years, it has been enjoyed by thousands and thousands of kids and parents and families, and how that feels.
Yeah, I mean, I think it feels great, and it feels nice that there's a sense of community in our part of the city. One of the things that I think is easy to lose, especially as you get older, is that feeling of connectedness, you know, both to nature and your environment and the rest of the city around you and the community around you. So I think having the memories of being raised in that environment, being kind of growing up through this process, definitely inspires me and makes me feel good about just the general community that exists around the Children's Garden and around Madison Park.
Yeah, and you've been a part of the kind of the bigger Magnuson Park community in all the time you spent at Sail Sandpoint also.
Yeah, that's a really good point. And I think I might not have, have stayed around quite as much if I hadn't been so comfortable and spent so much time in the park as a kid. It made me comfortable interacting with that community and kind of normalized the idea of volunteering and spending time doing things for the community and with the community, which I think is super valuable and is definitely carried forward into other places in my life.
That is really cool. I know that things for me, volunteering also as a child is a big influence on me as an adult. And like you said, it brings it into the, if something you're comfortable with, then you just kind of, feel good about carrying it out in other places. And I feel very lucky that, I came to the Children's Garden as a volunteer also, and have ended up spending many, many years there, since, and I plan on spending a lot more time there in the future. So, it's interesting how those things in our childhoods shape us and kind of create us as to who we are too.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think a lot of people might not necessarily get it, the volunteerism early enough. I think the realization for me was when I was at the University of Washington doing service learning, we did a similar type of volunteer work with Nature Consortium. And a lot of the kids in my class that I was volunteering with, it was the first time that they had ever really done something like that with the community. And I think they were surprised at how nice it was, just as an activity, something to do other than their day-to-day, and also how good it felt and how nice it was to see the impact that it brought to the communities we were volunteering in. So it's really, really awesome and warms my heart that it's something that's continuing to be available for generations to come.
Yeah. Yep. There have certainly been a lot of kids volunteering in that garden over all these years. And it was one of the things that when I was teaching for the Parks Department and running all the nature camps, and we always did stewardship in the garden as part of our activities, for them to have that experience too of doing something that they may benefit from, but they also would know that the kids in the next camp or the next month's camp would benefit from, like planting new seeds in the pea patch or planting some berry bushes in the children's garden, and they might not be the ones that get to eat those berries, but they were part of creating it. And I always felt that was a really great experience for them to have. So it's really nice to hear from you that about how the volunteering part of it affected you. And I really appreciate you taking the time to talk with me today. I know you have a really busy life and we haven't seen each other for a while, but it's really great to hear your voice, Max, and get a chance to hear all about your reflections on the Children's Garden.
Absolutely, Emily. I appreciate you reaching out and thinking of me, and thank you again for all that you do for the community and those experiences.
Thanks.
Thanks for listening to another episode of Magnuson Nature News. brought to you by Magnuson Children's Garden. Hope to see you in the park.